Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels. Our guest this week from Lake Hoseca's Guide Service over in Minnesota, we've got Scott Merwin back on the show. We're talking panfish with LiveSight technology. Scott's got a really fun career to talk about here in the last decade. His guide career out on the water every day, day in, day out, grinding it out. He's also definitely had some success fishing competitive tournaments, going out there, testing his mettle, learning as much as he can, just becoming a student of the game, staying on the cutting edge of what's good right now. And in that conversation, you know, it's pretty hard to get away from some of these LiveSight technology, whichever you have, or whatever you're looking at or thinking about or have questions about. You know, Scott, he's really taken it upon himself to learn these technologies the last handful of years that they've been out, and figure out those best opportunities. When do they help him become a better angler? When do they help him find and catch fish? And you know, definitely Scott has some examples of when it's not the best. Scott travels around. He's put some of these strategies and technologies up against many different fishing situations through the ice, and definitely has some great perspective on the whole picture of how it can help you, what situations is it best in, and a lot of experience, a lot of his personal experience that he can speak to. So Scott's a multi-species guy from over there in Minnesota. He travels around a lot of places throughout the Midwest to fish. We're very excited to get into this interview with Scott Merwin. Started off just to kind of get caught up a little bit, Scott, because it's been a little while since we've talked face to face. We're done with sports show season. We're definitely neck deep in this ice season now, but we're definitely experiencing some interesting weather. I'd love to just kind of get caught up with you. What are you finding out on the ice over there in that how would you describe it? I mean, you're kind of around that Lake Hoseca's area of Minnesota, that whole central Minnesota, but you got a big footprint out there. Get us caught up on what you're finding so far.
Well, I can tell you we're working really hard at it right now. What we're doing is trying to find the lakes we're going to fish for the rest of the season. So we're moving quick and fast and hitting a lot of lakes. You know, we're moving quicker and faster and fishing lakes that we've never fished before just to learn new things. And it's kind of neat. You know, you'll burn out on three or four lakes, but then you'll hit a good one. And then you'll, you know, maybe hit two in a row. And then the next day you go hit four lakes, and none of them are any good. But then you know not to go back out there. You know, we're just kind of checking all these lakes we've never checked before to see if we can find some of those golden goose egg lakes, you know?
Yeah, and as a fishing guide, I definitely got to ask you this now. Like, you know, I definitely want to spend a lot of time talking about, your experience with LiveSight technology and how that has affected your fishing career, you know, your guide business and just how you operate. You're talking about being more efficient out on the ice. Do you feel like even in just your guide career alone, like, you know, this time of year, early ice, you get out, you're testing some new water. Does some of these new technologies give you more confidence in checking new water like that and being more adventurous in that way? Or have you kind of always been that way? Early ice every year, you gotta burn through these lakes.
So I can just start in the beginning when we were working a lot harder, you know, drilling more holes because all we could see was right below us. You know, so if you think back 10 years ago, everything was harder. You had to be a lot tougher. You know, you didn't move as fast. You kind of fish structure and things like that. The fish weren't there. You kind of waited around for them to come in or, you know, drilled more holes. And now we're just running these machines. And, you know, if you got a group of guides or buddies, you know, that are trying to check out a bunch of lakes, that's how you do it. You all jump on a machine with a live target or the panoptics, whichever you use, and y'all get in rows and just run down the lake. And if you have an extra guy, just have him hit structure. You know, it's like you're just covering more water so much faster than we used to. You know, it's now instead of 50, 60 holes on one area, you only have to drill like three.
I mean, for you, you know, talking about your experience with this, I mean, you've kind of been on this technology from day one. And I'll say this, like, I really wanted to, you know, I really want to dig into this topic with you on this show because, you know, like I told you before, you're one of the guys I know that has used this technology the longest, but also I love your experience with it where, and I want you to kind of talk about this in your own words, but you've been using these LiveSight type technologies since they came out, you know, to incorporate, you know, just for your own fishing. You know, you travel around the Midwest, you know, wherever there's a good ice fishing, and you apply it to different situations, different species of fish. It probably has helped you learn a little bit. You also do some tournament fishing and kind of have fun with it that way. I'm sure that there's been a huge learning curve there, but also just your day in and day out grind, your career as a fishing guide. You put so many days on the water. That's probably you know, where so much of your fishing savvy and all your learning and all your experience that you fall back on is really just all those days on the water as a fishing guide. You know, like, just talk about kind of how it has really affected your career and starting at the beginning, you know, just your learning curve of it and what you thought of it when you started and what were some of those first things that you learned when you're like, this is going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should jump back to my background a little bit. You know, I moved here from Texas, you know, 20 years ago. And I just open water fished for the first 10. So I just started ice fishing 10 years ago. And I've learned so much about it. It's a lot easier than open water, I think. But I've learned a lot about it in 10 years because the first thing I did was go out there and try and figure it out on my own. And then, you know, I started surrounding myself with people that knew what they were doing, you know, like that's how I got into the tournament angling. You know, I wanted to learn. So I surrounded myself with better people, but that's why I did it, was just to learn more. And, the way those guys move and stuff like that, I picked a lot up on there, you know, fishing with Jason and Dave and all these other people that I meet randomly that are just great anglers. You know, it's, we all learn from each other, and now we got these machines that are doing all the teaching for us because we're being able to see these schools move and what they do and watch them move, you know, and that when you're using your panoptics. And from where it was when I first started to now has just been a crazy ride. Everything was harder at first. Now it's getting easier and easier and easier. So, and it's also fun because you get to see what fish do and then go try and target and catch them. So all this technology has just went crazy in the last 10 years. Things got lighter. We got ways to look underwater now, under the ice and 90 feet out, you know. And using all this technology to move fast and quick and coming up with game plans on everything you do. How you're going to do it to save less time is just... I mean, it's just been an incredible and learning experience for me. It's made me very successful at it, which I'm pretty proud of. You know, I'm overwhelmed with how fun it's been and how much I love it.
Yeah, man, that passion. That's the thing. So, you know, with all these new technologies and all these cool new gadgets and stuff like that to come out, man, if it doesn't trip that trigger for you, you know, if it doesn't really like help you flex your passion, it's kind of like, I'll go on to the next thing. But when it kind of fits your personality and it's one of those things that just like when the shoe fits, man, it just kind of heightens the experience and makes it a lot more fun. I think there's a lot to that too with this technology. People talk about, you know, whether or not it's worth investing in. It's a lot, you know, new pieces of equipment like this aren't super cheap. And so you gotta budget for it. You got to, you know, make your decisions, buying decisions wisely. But, you know, if you're at that point in your career where you're looking to, you know, both learn more and also you're really, you know, you're really into the adventure and every outing, it just means something to you. You know, that added part to the experience and that fun level going up, I think is definitely something that I hear from a lot of guys that use it. But
How about this, man? I know you fish a lot. We fish together a bunch. Like, I'd love to hear you tell some of the stories, you know, early on. What would you say were some of the first successes or first things that you learned when you were using, you know, the live site technology, when the light bulb went off and you said, okay, this is cool. This is going to do, this is how I can utilize this. This is how this can make me better.
Well, it'd probably be crappie fishing and basin, in a basin somewhere. And I just remember that all the holes we used to drill, I mean, we drill 300 to 500 holes in a day, you know, and I'm not kidding that some people say, oh, you don't drill that much, but we were chasing these pods of fish just using a Vexlar, hopping holes, trying to figure out which direction they were going. And what really opened my eyes after using the Panoptics is we thought we were chasing these big groups of fish, but what it is actually is there's a bunch of small groups of fish out there and you're hitting those, but you had to work harder to do it. Now we just, you know, you're drilling less holes. Now we're probably drilling 100 a day instead of, you know, 300 a day. So, well, you've been out there when we've been fishing hard and moving fast and running. Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's, you know what I'm talking about. It's, we don't have to run anymore.
Yep. And I think the efficiencies is a huge thing to state in there where, you know, say, you know, 10, 15 years ago before, you know, some of these electric drill systems like that, you know, have come into play. You know, there's some paralleling technologies that have really helped with this too, right? Like, you know, just some of the efficiencies of, you know, setting up a good, reliable snowmobile, you know, access, you know, to all your stuff. And, you know, just kind of the whole setup plays a big factor too with your efficiencies to give you the allowance to drill that many holes too.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, if you were ever a Boy Scout or whatever, the first thing they taught me was to be prepared. And that's just like ice fishing. If you're prepared for everything, you're going to be successful. Things change in a heartbeat out there. You might run into a group of perch you want to chase or some walleyes, or, you know, when you're out there looking for fish, you got to take those opportunities to catch what's down there, you know. And that's kind of been pretty cool too when you're running the Panoptics, as you can see, or the live target, you can see what's going on.
Yeah. You see those signs of life. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, for me, half of the battle, if I'm breaking down new water or just water, you know, new water for me, I kind of categorize it. Even if it's something I have history on, if I haven't been there in a while, it's new to me, right? You got to go in open-minded. You got to break it down again. You know, you might have some waypoints that help you, but anytime I'm going out there, you know, the first thing I try to do is find signs of life, you know, and it's like, man, that can take a lot of holes, you know, just to find those signs of life. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, the efficiencies of it is definitely things that I feel like the stories and the, you know, relating, you know, the average guy that's really wondering if something like this is in his future, if he's going to invest in this, you know, are just good things to hear, you know, that that it can help you be more efficient, and it can just, you know, just it heightens your experience and puts you on fish a little quicker. I mean, even more to just dive into that, you know, and you're talking about this time of year where you're breaking down lakes where you and the guys that you guide with, you know, you can kind of, you're like a bunch of combines. You kind of get on a lake and you spread out and you just go down the lake. I mean, talk about how you evaluate what you're seeing down there. I mean, at this point, you know, do you evaluate structure? Are you just looking for fish? The more fish you see, do you feel like you get better at judging size and activity of the school? What has been some of the evolution of learning pieces for you with this type of technology?
You're learning a lot more about the fish and what they do throughout the season. And for instance, like right now, you know, there's all these small groups of 10 and 20 fish just kind of scattered in different areas, you know, which are, you know, right in the same basin. But you'll see 30 or 40 of these groups. So they're not grouped up yet. That's one thing we're learning, you know. And then later in the season, those groups finally form together, and that's when you get on the bigger groups. Now, that's not saying you can't get on bigger groups on good lakes, you know, because there's a couple we've hit where we just got, I mean, you understand how big the school is. I mean, today, I mean, I saw probably one of the biggest schools of crappies I've ever seen in my life. And it was covering a pretty big area. But, I mean, it was just neat to know that that was what was down there.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose that kind of helps you evaluate the lake a little bit too, right? Because it's true, yeah. I've said it a million times, and it's not like my philosophy. This is just what the industry has taught me. Talking to so many fishermen like yourself, it's taught me that every lake, every body of water fish is different than the next. There's going to be something unique about one versus the other, just for whatever reason. And, you know, I imagine you've learned a lot in that way.
Yeah, well, I can just tell you another lake we fished this week. That was one. Another lake we fished this week, there were big fish, but there were groups of three or four, and they were scattered more out throughout the lake. I mean, we couldn't really get on them because we chased them. So, I mean, they were moving so quick, it was crazy. You know, predicting where they were going to go was pretty tough. We never caught a fish, but that's a lake I'm going to go back to because I know it's got big crappies in it. And I don't know if there's an abundance of them, but eventually those fish are going to be together, and that's when I want to be there.
You know, the ability to maybe find signs of life and find fish with it, you know, when you got that transducer, you can look out 90 feet. You know, depending upon the pattern that you feel like you're targeting, you know, there's different types of patterns. You can probably figure out with common sense just how to sort of leverage the transducer and just the whole deal just to find those signs of life. But as far as fishing efficiencies, do you feel like, you know, when you talk about drilling less holes, is there sort of a style to your hole drilling? Is there something about it that you feel like you've had to learn, or there's a learning curve? I mean, it can't be just as simple as you drop the deucer down. There's a school of fish over here. You go drill one hole on top of their head and that they're there to bite. I mean, that probably is true sometimes, but there's got to be some, you've got to have some experience that you can share that, how to utilize it to really put the holes in the right spot and put all the pieces together better.
You always got to have a plan, like I said earlier. Basically, we're using it, and you'll find out that you can go miles and miles without seeing any fish, you know. And other places, you'll find those scattered ones, and then some other places you'll find the big groups. But the thing that we're learning most is just now we're working together. And we're learning lakes quicker. And we're even learning, like, what we're going to do next year. Hey, this lake has a bunch of small fish year class, but I wonder what it's going to be like in 2 years or 3 years. So we're taking notes on that kind of stuff just so we're set up for later. I feel like the more ice we cover, the smarter we're getting, you know, because you're starting to learn places that you never would have fished before. You're fishing places that you never would have fished before. You're going to lakes that you never even thought about fishing, you know, and it's just opening more doors for more opportunity to catch fish.
I think there's a lot to that. I mean, we can definitely make it sound like we're beating a dead horse, but I, you know, one of my favorite, you know, portions of these conversations that I have is just talking about the experience and the fun fishing opportunities. And if there's some way, somehow, that we can all get ourselves to attack a new fishing opportunity, and that can sometimes mean being on the same lake. If you fish a big lake, but you know, you really feel, but you realize you're maybe stuck in a rut, you kind of do the same thing all the time. When you add something like this to your arsenal, and it gives you the confidence to go fish either another species or fish a different pattern. You know, if you're just stuck on, you know, say basin crappies or basin bluegills, and you know, it's obviously been exposed and identified that in all water that holds crappies and bluegills and walleyes and pike and whatever, you know, not every single fish in a particular lake is going to be doing the exact same thing. And these technologies allow you to be adventurous and go, you know, into some shallow water and check out, you know, if there's some oxygenated, you know, there's some current or something, and there's some weeds that stay green, it's going to hold fish. And you can, you know, you can do all, you do these things with a little bit more confidence, and I think it just adds so much to the fishing experience and to the, for the person that is, you know, adventurous and looking for a new opportunity. It can be as simple as that. Or like you said, you can attack new lakes that you probably wouldn't have otherwise thought of, or maybe, you know, you knew about it, but you just, what you knew about it was, you know what, that's probably something we need to go out in a boat. That's probably not an ice fishing deal. That's going to be too expensive for our time to go there and have to drill that whole thing out. Now you can go there and you know, just cover that water. And I don't know, I think that's a huge portion of the conversation. It probably, you know, to be fair, has been since day one. You know, like what is this type of technology really going to do for the industry? But gosh, you know, it just gives people confidence to go find fish. But talking about catching fish, now I know you know how to catch fish. So, you know, talking about, you know, the hole drilling and you know, your styles of catching fish. I mean, do you really feel like the main portion of this type of technology for you, helping you, is just finding the fish sooner, you know, in the day, or, you know, just with a little bit less effort? Or, you know, is there certain ways that you feel like it might help you catch fish, especially like what you're talking about, teamwork? You know, if you're working with a couple of buddies, I mean, tell a story about, you know, when you got a little bit more confidence with this, you know, how you applied it to fishing where you really feel like it was upping your batting average of catching fish.
Well, if you can see them, then you can find them. And if you can find them, you can chase them. If you can chase them, you can catch them. That's just as simple as it gets. You know, any kind of technology that's going to show you where fish are that aren't underneath you is going to help you out, you know, unless you're fishing in the weeds. You know, there's other newer technology for that that's pretty amazing and quick as well. But, you know, it's amazing learning tool. It's quick and fast to find fish. Some days you're going to learn, you're going to chase them all day and you'll probably never get on them. You know, one day we were out and we chased them for, God, I wanted to say like 3 miles. And finally we came to the end of the lake and they didn't have anywhere to go. And it was just, you know, I mean,
there's probably something to that where you know, to be fair, if you couldn't see him out ahead of you, or if you couldn't see him moving as you were drilling, you probably would have given up a long before that, not even really particularly knowing you were there. So, you know, kudos to, you know, knowing that they're there and being able to chase them down. There's probably some value in that.
Well, and two, now we can look at a group of fish and see somebody drill a hole and watch them scatter. So we learn from that. Or, you know, our snowmobiles are loud when there's no snow running across the ice. I learned that my snowmobile scares them when there's bare ice more than anything. You're better off with like a four-wheeler, you know, on tires.
The JMO podcast is sponsored by Long Haul Trucking. Long Haul's always looking for more skilled professional CDL drivers to join their team. They're a people-first company, and it shows. Their employee-owned, asset-based fleet of over 350 Conestogas is among industry leaders in pay and benefits geared towards long-term success and growth for company drivers and owner-operators. If you're a professional driver or a company that wants to ship product with the best in the business, get a hold of Long Haul at 1-800-255-5153 or find them online at longhaultrucking.com. Long Haul, running on the power of promises kept.
Yeah, why don't you talk a little bit about that? I'd love to hear some of that where, you know, the first few times that you had confidence in it, you had it out, you were seeing some fish, and you were realizing that they were easily spooked. I mean, how did you overcome that? How did you maintain and realize, you know, and figure out ways of just, you know, I mean, you had to get quieter? Or how long did you realize how long, you know, do you have to wait for them to come back? I mean, you know, talk a little bit about that when you were trying to overcome some of that stuff.
Well, I could just tell you, I learned it in tournament fishing, you know, with cleats. Cleats scare a lot of fish. And if you want to catch those big fish, you got to be super quiet. You know, you got to drill out a grid of holes. You know, they're in the area. You got to be real sneaky, you know, and try not to make a lot of noise. And go catch bigger crappies for sure, but and bluegills. But you know, now you got this piece of machinery or this piece of technology, you can put down this hole, you can watch those fish do that and realize how much they really do it, you know, and how fish are very, very skittish. You know, lots of noise probably isn't good.
I mean, you kind of made a comment there, and I think it probably universally makes sense, but I was hoping maybe you have like an opinion on it or some experience with it. You know, the bigger fish, you're going to catch bigger fish if you can be more stealthy and have that finesse. By and large, that's probably, you know, that's probably easy for people to digest, right? Like if you just find yourself being a little bit more finessey, a little bit more put together with your setup, you're going to be able to catch more fish and ultimately bigger fish. But is it, in your experience, do you feel like the bigger fish, maybe just the way they set up, maybe just the way they are, maybe they're older, they're a little wiser. Do you feel like the bigger fish spook more? Are they affected more by it? I mean, what's your kind of your opinion on that?
I think that's how they got big. They've been skittish since the beginning, you know?
Might be like a genetic thing. Like they're just kind of the ones that are kind of born a little bit shy and a little skittish, you think?
Yeah. It may be genetics or just, I mean, they're in a group and that whole group reacts that way. So, you know, a boat's driving by or a snowmobile coming across the top of them or, you know, a trolling motor making noise. I mean, all that stuff does stuff to fish that scares them. I've watched it boat and I've seen it, you know, many times on the ice, and stealth is always the best.
You know, you're, like I said before, one thing that I enjoy about you and your career is that you fish, man, you've been in a lot of different fishing camps, a lot of different fishing situations in a lot of different places. And, you know, that can't be overstated. You know, even if you say your career is, you know, in and around the last decade, it's been fun to fish around you, you know, since I've known you for sure. And, you know, would you say, you know, fishing like metro lakes or high pressured fish react differently? Have you learned that there's maybe some differences, or do you feel like a crappie's a crappie everywhere with what you've learned utilizing this technology?
See, I've kind of changed my way of fishing the last few years. I try and stay away from the pressured fish. I know they're there. I know I can go catch them. I know there's going to be eaters in them. But it's when you're out there and you find that school nobody has and you have it all to yourself, you know, and you're catching nice fish and letting them go. Pressured fish, I mean, you got to change up a lot to find what they really like, because there's always, in those pressured fish, there's always something that they're going to eat, you know, no matter what.
Yeah, because they can't not eat to live, I imagine. But I didn't even know that you were going to sort of answer that question that way, but I really like how you said that, where now that you have this kind of technology, there's really no sense in fishing pressured fish, because you can go find fish. You can go find, and your batting average is higher, without a doubt, probably, however, you know, tenfold, if you have this type of technology that can help you find fish. You just got to go find some fresh water, and if there's fish there, fish those fish. I think that's a great point. I mean, do you have some, maybe some stories, things that we could relate to, things that you could just share that are just fun memories of yours when that really sort of came to play for you when you first got Panoptics?
Yeah, I just, well, for one, when you're a professional and you run into areas where a bunch of people are fishing because there's tons of fish there, it just looks bad. So it's not a good thing for me to do that. Of course, do I like to go talk to people? Yeah, I love to do that.
I think most, you know, it's probably a fair assessment that, you know, a lot of people, I would certainly be in this group. You know, you get a new piece of technology like this and they're probably fairly narrow-minded or narrowly focused on how they're going to use it right out the gate. And that, you know, they're probably not going to use it to its fullest potential. And there's a good chance that it could let you down because, you know, your expectations are too high. You just automatically think the fish are going to jump up the hole because now you've got, you know, this this sonar that allows, you know, you don't have to drill so many holes. You're not going to spook them as bad. You're going to be able to find them right quick during bite windows. You're going to be able to see how active they are. You're going to, you know, tell if they're nicer fish or smaller fish or whatever. You know, you can read structure quicker, whatever it is, right? Like all these things that you feel like, you know, the expectation is so high, but until you really put it to use and you really grind it out in lots of different scenarios that you really feel, you know, build that comfort level with it and that confidence with it, like you have, and definitely in certain situations. But also, I mean, it just, you know, to, you know, it just heightens your experience. It just makes it a lot more fun out there. So anything along those lines to, you know, I'm not even saying we're promoting it, because I think it promotes itself. Don't you think? I mean, the industry has really taken notice that this is like a big, going to be a big portion of the future in everybody's life in some way, shape or form. Right. But I mean, you know, just for you, just telling stories that talk to your experience, when the light bulbs were going off for you, when you first got it, that, okay, this is how I'm going to use it in this situation. And I didn't even know I was going to use it like this when I bought it. But now that I know this about it, it's like, now I'm off to the races. I mean, any stories like that are awesome.
It's endless ideas you can do, you know, and different things. It's like, I still haven't got it all figured out. But all I know that with this technology is somebody that didn't used to catch fish can go catch them now. And that's pretty cool. You know, all they do is learn this technology and pick up a few jigs and rods and, you know, get going out there. And it's not that hard.
Do you feel like you have a hard time fishing without it now? I know I've heard this plenty of times before from other people that, you know, once you use it, you can't go back, you know, you can't fish without it. I mean, do you feel like you've gotten completely married to it, or is there things that it teaches you a lot and makes you just as good, if not better, of an angler without it?
Well, I haven't had a lot of success with it, perch fishing, you know, so I was just out with Jason last week and we were perch fishing. I didn't even bring it out just because, you know, I wanted to fish and catch perch. I didn't want to sit here and try and figure out something that I hadn't had success with. So there's situations that you're not going to use it and situations that you are, you know, bass and crappies and, you know, walleyes on breaks and stuff like that, it's great for. You got your bluegills that are in the weeds. You know, that's a different animal, you know. You got to start cameraing those, which is a lot quicker and faster, too. You're doing the same thing, you know, just with the camera. Takes a little bit longer, but, you know, it doesn't work in all situations. It you know, it's good in certain areas and not in others.
So. Sure. And obviously your experience is going to teach you that. And then, you know, and then common sense probably lets you know too, but,
have a right tool for the job. That's a great tool. Just like the Vexilar is a great tool for reading fish through the weeds, you know, and catching those big bluegills in the weeds, you know? So it's a good tool to get a job done out in the middle of the basin.
Yeah.
You know, it, as far as anything under 10 feet, I don't think it works too good.
All right, man. Well, we'll start rounding this out because our timing is going to be perfect. And I definitely just wanted to talk a little bit about this year for you. Like, how do you see this shaping up? I mean, I would say big portions of the Midwest just got a bunch of snow recently. And so that's going to kind of, it's not no holds bar yet where there's pickups driving everywhere or whatever, access isn't everywhere. And so a lot of these fish are still sitting unpressured. I mean, for you, how do you feel like this year is going to shape up? I mean, did your fall kind of show that a lot of promise? And do you feel like everything, you know, 1 + 1 is equaling 2 so far for you in your area? Or is there a few things that you're realizing you kind of got to pay attention to?
It's shaping up okay. I mean, we still got a lot more work to do. You know, we miss early ice because we got to work the shows. So as soon as that's over, you know, it's Christmas. You know, we get a weekend, then we have Christmas. So right here and right now is when we're figuring out for the rest of the year. And things are looking good, you know. Just like I said, we've put a lot of work in and we found some nice fishable lakes with nice eater fish, some lakes with some bigger fish. You know, it just depends on what people want, you know, and I think everything's going to turn out great this year. You know, I think the snow might slow people down a little bit, but hey, you know, people love to fish. They'll get out there.
Yeah, man. I think you're spot on with that. I mean, anybody that's ice fished more than a couple of years in their life knows what can happen in the winter in Minnesota. You know, we just got to adapt and overcome. The fish got to eat. So if we can get out there, something should bite. I think that's good. And for you, I mean, we've talked about this before because this is not your first time on, but I definitely want to kind of end the show, give you a chance to promote yourself a little bit. Talk a little bit about your guide business and kind of how you operate. What do you offer? You know, you talked about that you got a few guides working for you, but talk a little bit about the structure of your business, what you guys offer, and you know, kind of what you're preparing for this year.
We like to do a lot of panfish, but we will do catfish or walleye. I think our trips are 6-hour trips. I don't know the price. You'd have to go to LakeOsakisGuideService.com to get that. But yeah, we're going to do what you want to do. If you want to sit in a shack, we'll try and figure out a best bite for you to sit in the shack, you know, which would be a hub shack or something like that. If you want to be mobile and go chase big fish, we'll do that with you. You know, it's just, we kind of cater to what people want. And we feel like we have more fun that way. You know, we win a lot of them. We don't win them all, but we always have fun trying. And it's definitely a learning experience if someone's wanting to learn.
Yeah, man. And that area you're in is loaded with opportunity, diverse in fishing opportunities, right? I mean, you got your footprint in that area that you can guide on quite a few lakes that all look a little different, right?
Yeah. And different structures, different, I mean, there's all different kinds of different lakes out there that fish so many different ways. And it's like, all we're doing is learning and learning. And I feel like I'm going to just keep learning about fishing till the day I die, because I don't think I'll ever have it all down.
Yeah, but, man, I think that's definitely a sign of a true fisherman, your passion, you know, just kind of knowing what you want to get out of a day of fishing, that you want to learn, whether you win or you have to take an L. You know, you never take an L without learning something, right? I mean, you don't even have to tournament fish or anything like that to just know that philosophy in life.
Yep. And I was actually thinking about you and Jason today when I was out there fishing yesterday and today, because it seems like every time we get together and fish, we got that kind of weather.
Glad we got her, man. I appreciate it. And we're golden on time. So anything else, you know, if you want to promote, you know, I think you already said the website, but maybe just say it again, you know, where people can go to find, you know, information on your guide service and, you know, your social medias. If anybody had an ice fishing question or if they just felt like they related to you in any way and they wanted to hit you up, what would be the best avenues for that?
Okay, to answer any questions, you can get me on Lake Osakis Guide Service on Facebook and send me a message there. As far as other ways to get a hold of me, my phone number is 612-203-1010. My website is www.lakeosakisguide.com, and that's about all I got.
Golden, man. Well, I appreciate the time, Scott. It's always a pleasure. And
all right, sounds good.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. Appreciate the time, Scott.
All right, bye.
Later.